I welcome all of you here today. It's a good weekend. Beautiful weather. We finally got one day with sunshine and no rain. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord for that. It just seemed like I get stuck in my own yard on the mower because it rains so much. It's a wet summer. How many of you here have served in the military in the past? Can I see your hands? Okay, myself and Tom, Michael. I want to thank you for your service to this country. This 4th of July weekend is not about firecrackers and parties and grilling out. It's all about remembering what has been happening in the past and our separation from the tyranny of England and establishing a country here that gives us liberty and freedom. And the men and women who have served in the years past, who have given everything for this country so that we could have the freedom that we enjoy today, they sacrificed the most they could, many with their own life and their own shed blood. Their families sacrificed with them and losing loved ones and going through the turmoil and struggles that the soldiers went through. I just want to thank each one, all the families that have gone through that sacrifice, through all that struggle, so that you and I could sit here in total freedom today. And you know, according to prophecy, that in Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, it says that the mark of the beast, this image of the beast, is going to be raised up, and anybody who refuses to worship that image, the decree will go out that this persecution will even lead to death. Now listen, friends. In these last days before Jesus comes, when that persecution gets so intense, even though the decree goes out that God's people should be killed if they refuse to fall down and worship this image to the beast, there will be no point in killing God's people. There may be persecution, but there won't be a lot of death. There'll be no point in martyrs because everybody will have made their decision either one way or another in this great controversy that is raging. Do you see the controversy raging today? The good and the evil struggling to see who's going to have dominance, you see? And that's what's happening in the world around us today. There is this great struggle. Everything that once was seen right and good and moral is being seen as bad and being thrown out today. And those things that we once saw as evil and bad are now being uplifted as good and righteous. And anybody who will cling to the Bible truth is seen as a bad person. There's a lot of persecution happening today in this world and even in this United States towards Christians who will adhere to the Word of God and will not let culture dictate to them what their beliefs will be. Thank God that we still have the freedom to be able to worship according to the dictates of our conscience. And someone else is not telling us how we have to worship. That's coming, but it's not here yet. And I want to thank every person who has ever served in the military and their families for being able to make that great sacrifice so that you and I could sit here in total freedom today. Those freedoms are slipping away. You know, liberty is one of those things that I think that many of us want it. And it's one of those words that I believe that is, it expresses something about who we are as a people. Many people in the world have not ever experienced the liberty and freedom that you and I have here today. They have been under tyranny and dictators that have left them with no hope in the world. I believe that the liberty is interpreted in many different ways for many different people. Everybody has a different notion about what freedom is, what liberty is. The very mention of this word, I think, kind of electrifies a person. When they've been in subjection to a dictator or a tyrant, this word of freedom and liberty does something to them. It gives some encouragement and hope for people who look forward to the time when they would finally be set free. The liberty of God's children. I don't think it's natural from a human standpoint. And the reason I say that is by nature, man has become a slave just by being born into this world. And you're probably wondering, well, my skin is not black. I've never been slaves. My family has never been a slave. What do you mean by that? Well, let me just take you to some text. If you'll follow with me today in the scriptures, okay? In Psalms chapter 14, in verses 1 through 3. Psalms 14, verses 1 through 3. And I hope that you'll follow along either in your Bible or your electronic device today. And this is coming from Psalms chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. In Psalm chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. And the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are all altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Paul echoes this thought of David in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And turn with me, if you will, to that, Romans chapter 3, and verses 10 through 12. We're going to look at a few texts today, so I hope that you have your hands loosened up. You can turn to the text with me. In Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse number 10, we're going to read verse 10 through 12. Beginning in verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And I think if we understand how this liberty, this freedom is not natural from the human standpoint, because by nature we have become a slave to sin. By reason of selling ourselves to Satan, you look in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 14. Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 14, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." And that's what happens to us, friends. By reason of having been made a captive of sin to evil, we have become captives to that sin. That's what 2 Timothy 2:26 says. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us the same thing. Look with me there in Romans 5, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." Who is that talking about? It's talking about Adam. "And death by sin, because of the transgression of Adam and Eve. And so death passed upon all men." That includes us today. "For that all have sinned." That includes us. Anybody that says they have not sinned makes God out to be a liar. And the truth isn't in them. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, is what the Bible tells us. And that's why every one of us need liberty. By nature, we have all been taken captive by the sin of this world. And we need freedom. We need liberty. The liberty of God's children is priceless, friends. What kind of a price would you put on that? The freedom that Jesus has given to each one of us. What kind of price do you put on your freedom today? It was purchased for you and I through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus did that for us. He paid the ultimate price through his sacrifice, and he didn't do that so that he could get some medals. He did that because he loves you and me. He did it for us. God looked. He found a ransom, according to Job chapter 33, verse 24. He found the ransom. That ransom was in Jesus. Jesus ransomed his life to pay the price for you and me. The life of the Son of God is that ransom that was paid for us. You look in Matthew chapter 20, at verse number 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. In Matthew chapter 20, at verse 28, it says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." That's what Jesus came for. To give that ransom, to set us free from the captivity that the devil had kept us under. All of this, I believe, is an expression of that redeeming love that God has for each one of us. If you go back to Romans chapter 8 and you read here what God is saying about us, listen to this. This is a text that I read many years ago when I first started coming to church. This encouraged me a lot. To know how much God really loves each one of us. In Romans chapter 8 at verse 31, it says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Do you realize that? I mean, just think about it, friends. All of the pressures that come upon us in this world, all of the persecution that is going to come upon God's people, all the bad things that happen to good people in this world, who can do anything against us if we're on God's side? You see, we're just looking at the immediate. Oftentimes, we just look at the things that surround us right now. We need to think about God's presence with us throughout eternity and how God someday is going to take us home and deliver us from this evil in this world. This struggle that's going on today between good and evil is going to ultimately come to an end. We know that from prophetic teachings that this is going to come to an end. It's coming soon, friends, much sooner than many people recognize. In verse number 32, it says that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And how shall he not with them also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's freedom, friends. Right there's freedom. That God loves us no matter what. He doesn't love us because we're good people and we go to church on Saturday. Hello? He loves us in spite of our behavior. Do you understand that? He wants us to do good things. He wants us to be holy like him. But he doesn't love us just because we're good. He loves us even when we're bad. And that's what the text is saying. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's no bad behavior that you can do that can separate you from God's love. He loves us continually. He has a love that is an everlasting love that will never die for his people. He loves us continually. He may not be happy with us. And you know, I think that's something, and I just hope that we can understand that sometimes people make choices that are not in agreement with what God has for us and his will for our life. But God doesn't like the answers that we give him sometimes. God doesn't like the behavior that we have sometimes. God doesn't like some of the decisions that we make, but he still loves us in spite of that. There's times that I don't agree with some of the things that my children do, but I still love them. And as God's children, I praise God for that. That when I fall down, I make mistakes, I sin against God, God doesn't hate me because of that. He doesn't agree with it. He doesn't like what I do, but he loves me just the same. And he gives me hope in Jesus that through his shed blood, friends, I can find victory and I can find liberty in him. I don't have to stay bound to the devil because of my bad behavior. I hope that encourages you today to know that no matter what we've done, no matter what we do, God still loves us and he wants the best for us. Too many times people think that God hates them because they do something bad. Well, if that were the case, none of us would have any hope today. But because of Jesus, friends, we have hope. We have hope through Jesus Christ. God's love redeems us. And I believe that when we realize the price that God paid for your liberty and freedom and mine, it should do something for us in our relationship with God. We dwell on this idea of God's children being free. Nobody can really capture us and bind us up here on this earth. No human being can take away your freedom. No one. This freedom encompasses everything for God's children. There are many times in times past in the world that people have lived under tremendous oppression. I mean, we have scriptures of 430 years where the children of Israel were under the oppression of the Egyptians. We have experience in the New Testament where the Jews were under the oppression of Rome. We have many experiences throughout the world where people even today are living under tyranny and dictatorships where they have no freedom. Not the kind of freedom that you and I enjoy here from our Constitution. God has blessed us in this country above everybody else in the world. We have freedom that most people don't even know about. You see, I heard it said once that everybody is trying to come into our country. Nobody's wanting to leave. And it is true because we offer something here in our freedom that most people in the world do not experience. And listen, friends, there are people that complain about this country. They complain about all of the things that God has given us, this freedom, the blessings that we have that are far exceed anything else in the world. If they don't like it, let them leave. But don't tear down the country and the freedom that we have here today. There are many people that have died to set us free from the oppression and dictatorship and tyranny that has been going on throughout the whole world. And especially the freedom that we find in Jesus. Nobody can take that from you. Jesus Christ died so that you and I could have true, real freedom. And no one can take it from us. In fact, Patrick Henry once said, "Give me liberty or give me death." You learned that in grade school, right? And it's so important for us. Too many people use this word too loosely, friends. They just throw it around for everything. There are many people that think that because they have liberty from the scriptures, that they have the liberty to do whatever they want, they can sin against God, they can do whatever they want against His will for their life, and they've got liberty. That's not freedom. That's not the liberty that God is talking about. Only the people that have really come from this kind of oppression, the lack of liberty and freedom, that can really, really understand and cherish the worth of freedom in their life. Many of us have been raised up in this country, friends, and we've never tasted persecution. We don't know what it's like to be in locked up in some kind of a prison, to be held captive. We don't understand that. The time is coming, we're all going to get a taste of it. But right now, we have lived a privileged life in this country. God has blessed this country above all others. And sometimes we do not appreciate what we have. Do you ever notice that artists that are really highlighted today in their paintings and their sculptures are really valued at a great amount of money? When they were actually living and doing those works, nobody appreciated them. They weren't noticed. It wasn't until they died that all of their works came to forefront and became valuable. Oftentimes, we don't value the things that we have here because we've grown up with them. We've become so accustomed to it. We're so used to having all of the privileges and freedoms that this country affords us. And we oftentimes do not appreciate what God has given to us here. Everything that you and I have has come down from God out of heaven to us. He has given us great freedom in this country. Liberty, I believe, is synonymous with salvation in Jesus Christ. Because that's the real freedom, friends, that we have in Jesus. The freedom that God has given to us. Listen to John chapter 8, verse 36. It says this in John chapter 8, verse 36. It says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Isn't that amazing? You could be locked up in a prison. You can be put out on an island all by yourself like John the Revelator was. But you can still be free. Because we can be free in Jesus. And that's the ultimate, greatest freedom that any person could ever have. Freedom from the guilt of sin. That's freedom, friends. That's freedom. You look in Romans chapter 8 at verse number 1. It says, "There is now, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." That's freedom that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. We have freedom from the power of sin, according to to Romans chapter 6 in verses 14 through 18. In Romans 6, beginning in verse 14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." In other words, hold you captive, make you in bondage. "For you are not under the law, but under grace." Do you understand that statement? You're under the law when you're trying to win in your salvation by keeping the law. Our salvation is given to us as a free gift. We don't earn that. It comes to us from God, who loves us liberally. He gives us freedom through Jesus Christ. But when He has given us salvation and we've accepted that for our life, that means that we're motivated by that freedom that God has given us to follow God with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul. To do everything we can to please God. Not so that we can win salvation, but because of what God has given to us in this freedom. We honor Him by obeying Him, you see. What then, in verse 15, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And Paul gives an emphatic statement, God forbid, that we would think just because we're not under the law anymore, in other words, trying to earn our salvation through law keeping, that we're now under grace. God forbid that we would sin against God. That liberality that God has given us, that freedom, does not open the door for us to do just anything that our heart desires. There are limitations that God has for his people. Many people do not understand that, and they use this liberality, this word liberty, too loosely in their life, and think that they can do anything they want. In verse number 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey his servants, ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Can you say amen? Jesus Christ set us free. He set us free from the bondage of the devil, from this the result of sin. He set us free. He gave us freedom over the power of sin and from the guilt that sin puts into our life. Jesus set us free. We have freedom from the eternal consequences of sin. We know that that is coming. The judgment is going to take place. And those people who have been doing things that are against the will of God will someday have to stand up and answer to the God of this world about all of those things that they've done. Now's the day to confess that. Now's the day to ask for forgiveness. Now is the day to be set free from that bondage that the devil has put us in. We need freedom to serve the Lord. We need freedom to be able to feel God's presence working in our life. We must abide in Christ Jesus to remain free. Listen to this in John chapter 15, in verses starting at verse number 1. In John chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So you see, liberty, freedom, does not give us the freedom to sin against God. There is still God's holiness and righteousness and law that God expects us to adhere to. Just because God has given us freedom in Jesus Christ, the freedom he gives us, friends, is that we don't have to try to work out our salvation. Christ provided that as a free gift to you. We no longer have to be under this condemnation of the guilt and the sin that has been in our life. We don't have to be in bondage to the devil anymore. Jesus Christ came and set us free and paid the ultimate price with his own blood. But because God gave us liberty, I think the scriptures make it very clear that God did not cast out that there was no more sin. No, he set us free from sin. And as we know, then, this great controversy we're in today, that sin still exists in the world. Have you felt that? Have you seen it? Have you experienced it? Do you want to be free today? We can only be free in Jesus, you see. And that's the real freedom that God wants to give us. We must walk in the Spirit to really enjoy the freedom that God has for us. We need to keep God's commandments to be truly free. Because if we're not obeying God, if we're doing something that sins against God and our fellow man, we're not free. We're held subject to the sin that is in our life. That's what Romans chapter 6 is talking about. We're no longer free. We're bondmen, held captive as a slave to sin. I think that God has given us a promise, and he wants us to be able to follow him in truth and in spirit. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 48. In Isaiah 48 at verse number 18. There's a promise to you and me from God. In Isaiah 48 at verse 18, it says, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. So do you think God still wants us to be obedient to him? You think God still wants us to follow his commandments and his guidelines, his requirements for us? Certainly. Does he give us freedom? Absolutely. He gives us freedom in the shed blood of Jesus Christ that eliminates this bondage that the devil held us under. God has set us free through Jesus Christ. This freedom that we worship and serve is Jesus Christ only. I know the country sets us free, free from the oppression, free from the dictatorship, free from the tyranny that this country once was under. But friends, there are many people in bondage and slaves today to the sin of this world. And it's getting worse. And the devil has captured many people and put them into bondage. The freedom of God's children is from within, not from without. It comes through the indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit in our life. And that means that so long as we're in this world here, in this sinful world, there's going to be tribulation and persecution. There's going to be difficulty and hard times for every one of us. Look in John chapter 16 and verse 33. In John chapter 16 at verse number 33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you," this is Jesus speaking, "that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Praise God for that. Jesus has done it for us. Persecution will come without us waiting for it. It's coming, friends. It's going to roll over top of this world like a steamroller. It's already starting to happen that if you don't bake a cake, someone's going to persecute you. If you don't make flowers for a wedding, someone's going to persecute you. If you don't do this, or if you don't believe that, if you don't agree with this person, someone's going to persecute you. And the devil is trying to incorporate this kind of slavery in the life of every person on this earth. Look with me in 2 Timothy at chapter 3, verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse number 12. At verse 12, it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer" what? Persecution. It's coming, friends. You haven't felt it yet. It's coming. And the devil is going to use every advantage that he can get. And he's going to persecute us in every way he possibly can. And if we're held in bondage to him, friends, he's going to really, really make life tough. We need Jesus. We need Jesus in our life. We need his Holy Spirit dwelling inside of each one of us. But am I truly free? And I think the answer to this question can be found in my life and in my daily experience. Are we really free? Well, in John chapter 8, verse 34, I believe that Jesus is trying to tell us that what freedom is really like. And he says there in John chapter 8, verse 34, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Paul said that in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, that whoever we choose to obey, that's who we're servant to. If you choose to obey Jesus Christ, then you have the righteousness and freedom and peace and joy in your life that God wants you to have. And if we give our life over to the devil and sin, then we become captives of his. We're in bondage to him. And all of those things that the devil does to us, they come to us because we're his captives. He holds us as bondmen in our lives. And all of the guilt, all of the freedom that we once thought we had, the power of sin comes crushing down upon us, friends. Many people don't know how to deal with that today. They don't know where to go with all of the guilt that they struggle with. They don't know how to get free of the sin that they participate in. They don't know what to do or where to turn. And I'm suggesting today that we turn to Jesus. What do you think? I think that's the only place that we can find real, true freedom is in Jesus Christ. And there are some, according to Peter, who boast of their liberty, but in fact, they are slaves of their evil habits. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, Peter talks about this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. In 2 Peter 2, verse 19, chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "While they promise them liberty," or freedom, "they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." Peter must have heard Jesus say that somewhere. He must have heard Jesus talking to somebody about that, like in John chapter 8, verse 34, where Jesus promised to set people free. We're overcome by evil habits. We become slaves to the devil. The question I want to ask you today is, do you truly want to be free? Do you really want to be free? This is, I think, a question that only you can answer. Do you really want to be free? There is coming a time, friend, when the liberty of God's people in this country is going to be taken away. The civil liberty that you and I enjoy through the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That is changing rapidly in this country. And I believe that liberty, the true, real liberty and freedom, is an objective of heaven. Is that Jesus Christ wants to set us free. And that's why he said in John 8:36, if the Son of Man therefore shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. There is no country, there is no government, there is no law that can take away the freedom that Jesus Christ gives to his people in their hearts. We may be held in persecution and tribulation. We may be locked up in prison. We may even lose our life and everything that we own. But we can still be free in Jesus Christ. That's the real freedom. That's what God wants all of us to have. He wants us to be free. In John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus is saying that whoever commits sin, he is the captive of that. I want to be free today. What about you? I want Jesus to give me the freedom, the liberty to be free. And as we celebrate this 4th of July season on this weekend, the freedom that has been given to us through the shed blood of men and women for us, let us remember the freedom that Jesus gives us through his own shed blood. That's the real true freedom. That's the freedom that God, all of heaven, wants you and I to enjoy today. So as we go through this weekend, as we're grilling out, we're spending time with friends and family, we're enjoying all this liberty that we have in this country, let's remember what the true freedom is. And that's the freedom that God gave us through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the great sacrifices that men and women have made in our behalf. I thank you for the liberty and freedom that we have here today. And that our laws, our constitutions, gives us that kind of freedom. But Lord, we really need the freedom that only you can give us, the freedom that your Holy Spirit gives us as he dwells in our heart. I pray today, Lord, that you would come into our lives, in our hearts, and really help us to experience the true freedom that you want us to have. Take us out of that bondage, that slavery that the devil has put us under, and give us the liberty today that only you can give. We thank you for that. Thank you for the promises of your word, and we ask for your blessing for us, that peace and joy will run through our life like a river. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals to